Hello. I am Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away once again, it's my pleasure to welcome you to Silver Minutes, in which I invite you to enjoy with me some of the tremendous fun we've had in a remarkable 25 years of playing Just a Minute, perhaps the most deceptively simple, enduring, popular, and much-copied comedy game on radio or television anywhere. I have hosted this game over 25 years to a tremendous array of talent, from such as Victoria Wood, Peter Cook, Maureen Lipman, Michael Palin, Elaine Stritch, Richard Murdoch, and even on one occasion, Barbara Castle. But in all that time, the show has been kept safe in the hands of its four longest-serving players: Clement Freud, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, and of course the much-loved, much-missed, irrepressible, and not to mention on occasions uncontrollable, Kenneth Williams.
Well, I think the juries ought to decimalize. We ought to have 10 good men.
Peter Jones.
Reputation of aught.
Also, because if they were decimalized, they would be subtracted by 1/10, you see. Actually, it's not what you're saying, is it? You meant there should be 10 men. Oh, no, I'm wrong. It's decimated.
You're quite wrong.
Right.
With one accord, we would all like...
man that can acknowledge his own mistakes, isn't it? Isn't that a noble thing to have done?
Now, look, you've got half an hour to go. Don't shoot everything at the beginning.
Oh,
no,
right.
Hold something back.
You're quite right. I should. I need sedation, really.
You do, really.
Conservatoire, whether it was La Scala Milan, you name
Jim
it.
Jim Rice, the challenge.
Two weathers.
Two weathers?
Whether it was so-and-so weather.
What did it matter, you great fool? I've come all the way from Great Portland Street. I'm not going to be made a fool of by that great jerk. Also, very rude to me before this show began. Very rude to me before this show began.
Was it? What did you say?
I said it's an all-male panel on tonight, and he looked at me and said, we're all-male.
Came of the cult.
Exactly. Thank you, Derek. I'm glad that that's been made, apparently, yes. I mean, there's too little of it. I mean, people don't realise I'm a cult figure. I am an enormous cult.
Yeah, a cult in your own time.
People have said you're one of the biggest cults round here. Thank you, Derek.
And only you would dare say that.
Thank you.
What a daunting prospect for anyone to appear for the first time on the programme, with the talents of its regulars lined up against you. And many who aren't daunted when they start suddenly realise it's not as easy as it sounds when quietly listening at home in the bath. Here are some of those first outings.
I've had this thing in the cellar now for about 7 or 8 years, and I've asked the council to come round and investigate it, and they've said, frankly, it's nothing to do with us. So one night I decided to go down and investigate it for myself, and what I found was a jelly-like...
Sandy Toksvig, you challenged.
I don't know, I'm just guessing, but I think repetition on investigators.
You're absolutely right. The council asked to investigate, and then he went down to investigate.
What a lot of investigating. I didn't believe him, though. I don't believe the council went to investigate anything. I think that's a lot of nonsense.
Well, you could have had him for deviation, you see.
I could have had him for a lot of things, but I haven't got time.
Sandy, you have the subject, the first time to speak on Just a Minute. The best of luck to you. There are 16 seconds left. The subject is The Thing in the Cellar, starting now.
We've got a...
And Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Rather mean hesitation, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Well, I was just sort of trigger happy. I'm terribly sorry.
I disagree.
Long years
of... Smiley, Derek. So, Sandy, you have a point for an incorrect challenge, but do start a bit quicker next time. And,
sorry.
There are 14 seconds on The Thing in the Cellar, starting now.
We've got a thing in our cellar.
Can we quite challenge?
Deviation.
Why?
She started very quickly.
Pleasing some men, you start slowly, you start quickly.
What I want to know.
It's always the woman's fault, have you noticed?
Give them both a point. And Sandy, there are 13 seconds left for The Thing in the Cellar, starting now.
We've got a thing in our cellar, and it's my grandfather. He's been going off for some time now. I think it's his feet, they're gangrenous. He got that by standing in trenches in France. There was no war going on, he just liked to go and dig trenches in France.
Clement Freud challenged.
Trenches.
There were too many trenches he stood in, I'm afraid.
I think that's what it was, yeah.
I know. And Clement's got him in 1 second. Kenneth, can you tell us something about my other self in 60 seconds, starting now?
My other self?
Peter Cook is challenged right away. Peter.
I thought I'd better get in early, because otherwise I might not be noticed, and I have to bring up the possibility of deviation here. Which has been talked about, which self is he talking about, and has he deviated from himself while he was talking about himself?
Well, the only deviation that's occurred is the fellow never even started. So it was a wrong challenge, Peter, but it's nice to hear from you, and the listeners now know you're here as well and didn't miss your bus.
I thought he did awfully well then.
Yes, and that was Barry Took, and Kenneth Williams still has the subject with a point for a wrong challenge, of course. And there are 58 seconds on my other self starting now.
Many times people say, oh, how wonderful it was to have the veil, as it were, lifted on your proclivities. We do like to see this kind of thing. And, of course, it is true that when we do see something which we didn't think...
Peter Cook has challenged.
As a constant stream of wee-wees. That's repetition.
That was repetition, yes. And, Peter, I give you the correct challenge, a point for that, of course, and there are 9 seconds left on my other self starting now.
I like to think my other self is still where I always used to keep it, on my mother's shelf. She believes that that part of me that she adores...
Victoria, your turn to begin. The subject is my plums, starting now. Derek, no chance.
She didn't start.
I thought there was.
I know, but
there
would
be a noise to tell me when to start.
Yes, I am the noise.
I just got here. I mean, I can't be expected to know whether you're supposed to start or not. I thought there'd be a noise.
If you'd been on time, we wouldn't have had this problem.
The subject is my plums. Victoria Wood is going to talk, if she can.
I can.
When I say now, now!
Oh, my plums are under the sink in my kitchen, which has got red and white wallpaper, and they're jammed behind the waste pipe, and they're in yellow and green tins. And every so often, I'll take out a tin and I'll open it. I'll put it in my favourite bowl, which has got red and blue stripes around, and it's white china.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Revolution of red.
You
what?
Did, you had red and blue wallpaper.
There were different shades of red, actually.
It's a very good reply, Victoria, but I'm afraid if you do repeat the words... He's mean, actually. So
he is,
isn't
he? I can see that from here.
Derek Nimmo, you have the subject of my plums. There are 47 seconds, starting now.
The most incredible thing I know is when you get an attack of the hiccups from eating plums, because sometimes it does lead to constipation. And therefore...
Victoria has challenged.
I'm challenging on medical grounds.
Yes, I don't think
plums
it would lead to constipation.
Plums can never lead to constipation,
no,
as I know.
Quite the reverse, I would have thought. So, Victoria, very good challenge, and you have 22 seconds for the subject, and you start now.
The thing to do is, when you get hiccups, is, and I'm just pausing a minute to give you boys a chance to butt in and give me a really bad time. No, I've remembered what I'm going to say now. The thing to do is, if you get hiccups, is to get
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Repetition of the thing to do.
Yes, but she was giving you the chance to butt in, which you didn't do before, and as you did it then...
That thing to do.
I think that was absolutely rotten.
I didn't want to butt in.
She's come all the way from Morecambe.
Oh,
yeah. And the train was late. And carry on, Victoria. You have another point for that. There are 12 seconds starting now.
The best method to cure a person who's got hiccups is to stand them in the middle of the room and all stare at them, and they get so embarrassed they forget they've got hiccups and they stop hiccuping. Either that or they get really obsessed with attention and they turn into a Korean show business, where I don't know which you think is better.
Stephen Fry, will you take the next round? And the subject we've chosen for you is Wilhelm Furtwängler. Can you tell us something about... I'm sure it's been specially chosen for you, but there are 60 seconds to keep going, if you can, starting now.
Well, Wilhelm Furtwängler, as he should probably be pronounced, because there's an umlaut on the A in his name, was a great Germanic conductor. Of particular...
There were a lot of errors.
Yes, there were.
Somebody so bright as he.
Awful lot of errors. But he's never played the game before, I think, really, that was a bit... The audience are entirely...
And they reduced the price of his book at Dylan's, haven't they?
You have 49 seconds to continue with the subject. Wilhelm Furtwängler.
Well, Wilhelm Furtwängler was noted chiefly for his interpretations of Wagner, the great German composer of opera and so forth. He performed many times at the Salzburg Festival, where he got quite a reputation, got quite... Do you know, it's a lot more difficult than it seems when you're listening on the radio. My respect for Paul and Wendy and Derek, which was previously at rock bottom, it's extraordinary. These people are brilliant. I don't know how they do it. Never mind, carry on.
Paul, you challenge first. You have the subject, and there are 36 seconds left. Wilhelm Furtwängler, starting now.
Wilhelm Furtwängler was the winner of the silliest name competition in 1946. He won several years in a row after that, right?
Derek Nimmo challenge.
He won twice.
He won twice. Stephen Fry
challenge.
This
is impossible because he died in 1954.
Yes, but his name lives on.
I think the one you were talking about, the real one, was different to one Paul was. So, Derek, you had a correct challenge. 26 seconds on Wilhelm Furtwängler, starting now.
I was wandering this rather seedy part of Hamburg, and this man came up to me and said, my name is Wilhelm Furtwängler. I thought, what an extraordinary...
Stephen,
it was an extraordinary hesitation, I think.
Extraordinary hesitation, I quite agree. And you have 13 seconds on the subject, starting now.
His interpretation of Tristan and Isolde with Alfred Soothaus as the eponym and... why did I bother?
What a hard time the women are given trying to get a foot in the door of this jovial male bastion. But many have succeeded with great entertainment value and made the show their own, particularly Sheila Hancock and Wendy Richard. Here are some contributions from them and other favourite guests.
I don't have any garden gnomes. In actual fact, I don't have a garden. I have a patio on which...
Paul Merton challenge.
Well, deviation, because you had a garden in the last round and now you don't.
If I hadn't have come to the end of my minute, I would have said that. I'm continuing on with me gnomes from the worm.
But the serial started off with a lie because you said you had a garden.
It wasn't a lie. If I'd have had more seconds, I would have told them I haven't got a garden.
But you said you had a garden.
Yes, but she blew the whistle, didn't she? I didn't say
that.
Have
property developers moved in the last minute?
I think I'll go home now.
You were, Wendy, you were whinging on about not having worms.
Right.
And then you continued whinging by saying you didn't have any gnomes. And people were beginning to look quite upset about it.
Oh, right, then.
The thing is, Paul, shut up, Richard. What are you keep buzzing for?
I spotted something.
Oh, yes, what have you...
She repeated several words, have.
You're a bit late, Richard. We've got way past.
Well, you didn't give me a chance to get in. You've been talking a lot of rubbish.
Yeah. I haven't opened my mouth. Everybody else was arguing.
Give all Richard, right, I'll return.
Give Richard Murdoch a bonus point for the halves. Because we haven't heard from him yet. So Wendy, you keep the subject. You have another point, and it's garden gnomes, and there are 54 seconds left, starting now.
I don't have a garden gnome, but I have a duck.
Richard's challenge.
She said have twice.
Yes, I know she did. Yes, sir. And you've got 50 seconds, Richard, to tell us something about garden gnomes, starting now.
Well, I don't have any gnomes in my garden. If I did have, I know what I... I'm a newcomer, aren't I? Yes.
So, Wendy, you got in there. I know what the challenge is, but I think the audience should know, so we know we got it correct.
He said half twice,
right. Another point to Wendy. Evidence, 45 seconds are left, starting now.
I don't have any garden gnomes, but I had...
Paul Merton.
Do you realise we've been talking about garden gnomes for 5 minutes? And we don't know whether she's got any or not.
Wendy, you've got another point. And the subject back of garden gnomes, we're fascinated to know what you're going to say now. 35 seconds left to hear from you. And Paul Merton's challenge.
I just wanted to come in before she said, I have no garden gnomes.
A bonus point for Paul, because we like the challenge. Wendy still has the subject. Garden gnomes, Wendy, starting now.
I would love to have a garden gnome. I think they are most attractive.
Paul Merton's challenge.
Repetition of have.
Also, these messages that people send.
Sheila Hancock.
We've had messages.
No, we haven't.
A lady in the audience just said so.
Oh, wow. She's not playing just a minute.
She did.
be a fine thing if all the audience start challenging us.
Nick,
yes, I did say, I must admit, I did say...
Well, all right, you did. There are 45 seconds for you, Sheila, on round robins, starting now.
I have two round robins that visit me on my clothesline. And very attractive they are, which is another reason why I like hanging out the washing. But I say, hello, round robins, and how are you today? Is your breast fading?
Deserves a bonus for that wonderful line. We've got to give her one for that, but Kenneth challenged before that.
Deviation, of course. Subject's round robins are hanging out the washing. We've already had that.
Kenneth, she did repeat the word washing, so you have a point and 33 seconds.
You didn't challenge me on that.
Yes, I did. Repetition. I said repetition was my best match.
You didn't
repeat
wrong.
Now, look here, Sheila. We cannot have people arguing with the chair.
On round robins, starting now.
Round robins are so called because no human being has yet lived to see a square one. I have to pause there. I haven't really stopped talking, but I have to pause because the audience laughed at their interruption. My natural flow was there.
Yeah, all right, Derek's turn as well.
Additional natural flow.
Kenneth, you have 19 seconds to continue on round robins, starting now.
Well, I don't really want to continue on, Jerry, but on the other hand, I feel...
Two candles.
Right, if he doesn't want to, let me have it.
All right, Sheila. 7 seconds on round robin, starting now.
Robin Ray, however, is decidedly not round.
Peter Jones is challenged.
Robin Ray is not round, she says herself, so it's not talking about round robin.
Robins, it's devious. Perfectly well done.
Oh, that's a good one. There's a very good one. That's a good one.
You're very wonderful.
And you have 1.5 seconds on round robins, starting now.
Very nasty little birds, they are.
There are 8 seconds for you to take over the subject of kangaroo pie, Kenneth, starting now.
This would be made most deliciously, of course, by none other than Elaine Stritch. Because...
Clement Freud is challenged.
I don't accept that.
You don't accept it.
Elaine Stritch is a conservationist of a high order and wouldn't kill kangaroos to make pie.
But she might make a pie if someone else killed the kangaroo. We don't know. Would you?
Well, I don't know what to do in this game, honestly. I've never been so terrified in my whole life. They taught me how to play the game. I thought they didn't. Now I have to say whether I would be in a kangaroo pie or have anything to do with making... No, I would not, if that's going to clear this game up.
I don't think anything will ever clear this game up.
Well, it has nothing to do with loving animals. I don't want to eat a kangaroo.
Right. Elaine,
I'd much rather see Barnum. I mean, this is ridiculous. When is it my turn?
We give Elaine a bonus point for her contribution to the show. And another point for having let me off the hook on my next decision, which is that Clement Freud was correct. So you go on for another second, Clement, on kangaroo pie, starting now.
You can get it in tins in Melbourne.
So at the end of that round, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went. And sorry, Elaine, it's not your turn to speak yet. The subject is, what makes me fall about laughing? And there are 60 seconds starting now.
It is unquestionably Frankie Howard. I remember him talking about going down to Chequers. And he said, I was trying to get in there to see Macmillan, you know, the lovely spread he's got there. Of course.
Elaine Stritch, you've challenged.
I can't hear you. Or understands you, Kenneth. Yes. I understand. And I think it is a cheat. I meant to say something about Kenneth. He has a wonderful gimmick on this show.
Oh, yes.
Well, you see, he makes one word into a three-act play. And I think it's the greatest gimmick. And you can't challenge him on it, but that I just take... I don't mean to be unkind or anything, but I just couldn't
hear... Don't worry. Don't be inhibited. Everybody is in this show.
But I'll get used to it if I'm asked back.
But he did repeat the word there, which
Oh, well, that has nothing to do with it.
It has everything to do with it.
You can't help her.
She's so noble, isn't she?
I know, it's a truthful truth.
No, he's all undone, and I couldn't understand him, and I don't think that's fair.
But Elaine, he did repeat the word there three times.
Well, yeah, of course, that we all know.
So, therefore, you have a correct challenge, and you get a point for that.
What are we talking about?
I'm going to tell you in a moment. You have 26 seconds to try and talk on the subject of what makes me fall about laughing starting now.
Well, I don't think I can ever remember in all the times that I've lived in America or in this country of ever laughing at a comedian like Tommy Cooper. One night I was sitting alone in my room at the hotel, and I was watching a television show, and I think one of the strangest things in the world is to laugh when you're all alone out loud. I think it really is a example of really thinking something is funny. So I'm watching Tommy Cooper, and he said, I was sitting in a dentist's office the other day, and he said, I was reading a magazine, and the dentist told... And the dentist told me that the secretary of the dentist, nobody's challenging me.
You're welcome.
I almost challenged myself. I said, I couldn't believe it.
People have been known to do that and get points for it, actually. But Elaine, you kept going magnificently for about an hour and a half, and you fully deserve the point for.
Well, anyway, I've got to tell you what Tommy Cooper said.
Yes.
Oh, yes. He said, ha, ha, and all that business. He said, I was sitting in the dentist's office the other day. Ha, ha, ha. And then he said, I had to wait 2 hours. Ha, ha, ha. And then there was a long pause, and then he said, isn't that terrible about the Titanic? I don't know. That takes a lot of explanation. But have you ever read the magazines in a dentist's office? They're old. But anyway, I love them. That's what makes me fall about laughing as opposed to this show.
Elaine, you get a point for speaking when the whistle should have been blown by Herr Messiter.
Really, be honest with me. I repeated myself, didn't I?
You did, yes.
I would complain that you're not decipherable. You can't be heard properly.
But listen, Kenneth.
Tell him.
I don't want to go home and then have this show broadcast and then say, how was I? And somebody will say, well, they were very nice to you. I mean, that really isn't going to cut well with me, so I want to be treated rest of the gang. Right.
Actually, I can tell you something, Elaine. They've actually treated you rather toughly, because that's a mean thing to do with what they've done.
Right.
And they only do that to people that they not only love, but people they know they're good at the game.
All the time I thought it was because I was attractive, Nicholas. And I'm going to keep that thought and go home with it. So to hell with all of you.
In the sadness of losing Kenneth Williams, many wondered whether Just a Minute might die with him. But the joy of the game is its ability to encompass an enormous range of different new talents, many with a great affection for the show. One aspiring young comedian, after writing to the then producer asking to be on the show, the only time he's ever done such a thing in his whole career, was eventually invited to take on the difficult task of appearing in the first series without Kenneth Williams. Paul Merton rose splendidly to the challenge to become a new regular and confirm the program was alive and well, as you can hear in this golden minute from one of his first shows. Paul, will you take the next round? The subject is My Pet. Starting now.
My pet is a cat called Zuby. This cat is a peculiarly stupid cat.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Two cats.
There were two cats, yes, and you only got one, I'm sure, so that's repetition.
If the cat was a schizophrenic, would that help me in any way?
It could be a Siamese cat, like in Twins.
Yes, but in Just a Minute, if you repeat the word, that is repetition, and so 56 seconds, Derek, on My Pet, starting now.
My pet is a beautiful red retriever dog that I've had since it was 6 months old, had it trained by somebody in the part of Northamptonshire known as Oni. It is a great chum to me. It is a personal friend with an ability to...
Paul Merton challenge.
I think you should extend your social life if this... But this red retriever is a personal friend. I mean, I used to correspond with a tortoise, but I didn't.
So you're having him for deviation.
Deviation.
A bonus point, because we did enjoy the challenge, Paul, but Derek wasn't actually being too devious, so he keeps going with 33 seconds on my pet, starting now.
His name is Rufus, named after the king of that particular appendage in the park.
Peter Jones has challenged.
The dog was named after a king's appendage.
Yes, I know.
Was it? I didn't.
Oh. Is that the reason you became friends?
Oh, dear. Now, I have to judge on that and decide whether it was deviation or not.
Definitely deviation on somebody's part.
He was trying it on the dog.
You're going to get a bonus point for your challenge, I can tell you that right away. I think what I'm going to do in this situation is put this to the superior wisdom and judgment of our charming...
I'm fed up with this bloody dog, it doesn't exist. Thank
God. So much for friendship. You're appearing on Radio 4, this poor dog's at home waiting for you. Personal friend, probably whipped up a custard or something.
Now you've thrown the whole thing out of the window and given it over to Peter Jones. 23 seconds on my pet, starting now.
My pet was a blue rabbit called Jimmy.
Challenge.
I would suggest that you weren't heating it properly. Probably keep it indoors. And it...
Blue chinchilla rabbit, that's
right.
What it was.
Right. Well, keep it, save it, Peter, because Paul gets another point because we like the challenge. Peter keeps the subject and a point for an incorrect challenge. 20 seconds left, starting now.
But after a couple of years, I must say, I have to admit, it was rather boring. It didn't sort of give anything much. A rabbit is pretty, you know...
Derek, no more challenge.
Well, hesitation and repetition of rabbit.
Yes, I agree with you, Derek, but only one point, I'm afraid. But 11 seconds on my pet, starting now.
My wife calls me my pet. I
Paul, I know your challenge, but come on, Paul, yes.
No, I was going to say repetition of my, but of course that's included in
something,
isn't it?
I thought you were going to say if his golden retriever was his pet, how can he'd be the pet to his wife as well?
No, I wasn't going to say that. mainly because I don't understand what you just said.
There was no logic in it.
Then you're probably still upset about Sale of the Century being cancelled. So.
Did your wife have you trained by this man in Northampton?
And did you ever turn blue?
I don't know who has the subject, but I think it's actually still Derek Nimmo. And 6 seconds on my pet, starting now.
Come here, my pet, she says to me. Go out and look for the doggy. I go to the lane and go with a whistle.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of go.
Yes, you were going too much. Derek, so Paul got in with 3 seconds to go, and the subject's still my pet, starting now.
She used to be a kitten. That was, of course, many months ago.
One other performer who's been with the programme for all 25 highly enjoyable years is, of course, myself. More often than not, hemmed in, browbeaten, in the thick of it, on the receiving end of all their brickbats. Well, I leave you with some of the skirmishes between myself and the unruly mob who've sparred around me over the years. I do hope you've been entertained by this edition of Silver Minutes, and will join me for the second part, in which I will be enjoying again some of the witty and underhand ruses resorted to by our many panellists in their 25-year struggle to keep talking for just a minute. Until then, from all the panellists featured,
from researcher Mark Lewison, the creator of the game Ian Messiter, the producer Sarah Smith, and myself, Nicholas Parsons. Goodbye.
Cheek is when someone of diminished responsibility goes to the British Broadcasting Corporation and elects to be chairman of a panel game on the basis that he might have some idea of how to control people whose multisyllabic words he doesn't understand, whose meaning he is unable to comprehend, and whose hours and time he is unable to keep. I've now said unable 3 times, and because nobody's interrupted me, only...
He's in the shut.
Well, I'm not interrupting because I'm enjoying it. I should have challenged because I did hear it, but I wasn't giving it much attention. I still can't get over this business about you getting more money than we're getting. Baffling.
Peter, I will stand you a drink afterwards, and that's just about the amount of money.
Oh, no, he's not flaunting.
It's the first time in 15 years, I can tell you.